cracking the code on how you can optimize, personalize, and monetize your app marketing and mobile growth efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence, hosted by Peggy Ann Saltz. Peggy, a top 30 mobile marketing influencer, 9-time author, and content strategist, brings you her pick of tech, trends, guests, and cool stuff to help you drive growth and create deep connections with your customers. Now, prepare to get motivated and activated with our host.
Hey, hello. Welcome to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, where I plan, produce, and promote content that allows my clients to reach their performance goals and scale growth. And of course, growth, as always, is what it's all about here, because this is where we get the inside track from the UA experts, app marketing ninjas, people out there who know how to move the needle on mobile growth. It's success in this case that has earned them the title of mobile hero, as chosen by Liftoff, a full-service mobile app marketing and retargeting platform. And we've had a great series up till now. I encourage you, of course, to go back and listen in. We've been talking to a lot of mobile heroes, that's their name, that's their title, and how they became that. We've been talking to a lot of mobile heroes up till now, and I encourage you to go back and listen in to earlier episodes. And what we're looking at is, across all of these shows, you know, what is it that they're doing and doing right? Because these are the lessons that can help you also move the needle on your mobile app. So with that, I'm going to welcome our newest mobile hero. She's Alicia Kutsunova. She is head of mobile at Social Discovery Ventures. Alicia, great to have you here.
Hello, Peggy. Hello, everyone. Great to thank you for hosting me.
Well, it's great to have you. And what I love is that, you know, we have such a great mix. It's just an eclectic mix of people from around the world, literally, because in your case, I believe you are based in Moscow. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. We're historically based in Moscow, but still operate globally.
Uh-huh. And of course, that gives you a different view, not only just globally, but Social Discovery Ventures, as a little bit of background for our listeners, is an international umbrella brand for a group of technology and software engineering companies which provide platforms for social discovery, personal development, and online entertainment. And you manage a 30-plus dating apps all around the world, but maybe you can give me just a little bit more of an insight into what you're doing at Social Discovery Ventures, Alicia.
Speaking about our products and our company, we're mostly focused on two things. The first one is they're developing their, as you said, right, the social entertainment and especially dating applications. So we are trying to find the right niches on the market to connect people all together. So we're having the global brand named dating.com. We're having the brands, for example, for travelers like yourtravelmates.com. We're connecting also senior people at datemyage.com and so on and so forth. So we're just trying to find, to connect the most close audience all together. And the second part of our business is, can be obvious from there. Now, our name is investment business, so it's venture business, and we're especially investing in arts, in social technologies, in also interested in blockchain, but still not so. And our owner, the founder of the company, is investing into the different aspects of philosophy.
Well, you know, what's fascinating about this is the breadth of what you need to do and manage as head of mobile. So it's like, just to get an idea, you know, it's quite a lot, but your chief focus as head of mobile. Let's start with your background. I mean, what is it that you were doing before joining that makes it possible for you to manage such a wide range of mobile products and presences, really?
Before I was doing that, practically all my life, I was doing marketing and business development for different companies. First, I started doing and dealing with dating about 10 or even 11 years ago for the most popular still and most huge Russian brand called Mamba. Then I moved to the gaming industry and spent there about 5 or 7 years, mostly focused on business development and international users acquisition. And after that, it happens here that I get a technical tech experience for peer-to-peer financial and fintech platforms. And I was dealing with not only with the acquisition, but mostly with the product and the user's experience. And then I joined the Social Discovery Ventures as the head of mobile and responsible here for the from the one part for the marketing, acquisition, public relations, and so on and so forth. And from the another part for the development, user experience, customer support, and other stuff.
So how does that work? Does that sort of go hand in hand that you have to think about the, the user acquisition at the same time you're thinking about the product, developing the product, thinking about the journey? How is it that you do that in parallel, or you are truly a superhero because you're doing all of this at once?
No, I don't feel like I'm a superhero, but the thing is that everything, all those two processes are really based on data, because you you need to know how your customers behave yourself inside the application. So you just build the data clusters, you so-called categorize their customers on different groups. You're just watching their behavior. You try to determine their needs and what do they want from your app. And then you just build the user's acquisition based on the knowledge you've got from the current users. You're trying to find the lookalikes. You're trying to suggest something new to your possible customers. You're trying to find the new user's acquisition sources to find the right platform where you can attract your future customers. So that's not like a parallel process. Those two processes are based on each other and they're completely mixed.
And of course, as you stated, and many have stated, you know, it's data-driven marketing. If it's marketing at all in digital, in mobile, it's data-driven. But of course, you have the difference that yours is a very sort of high-touch app as well. You know, we're talking about dating. We're talking about finding travel companions, also social games. There's a real social element here. I'm sure, just curious, because there is no real answer, Alicia, so you're not gonna have it, but your view is really valuable on how do you balance sort of the high tech and the high touch so that you're making those data-led, data-informed decisions, but you're also keeping in mind you have to be watching human behavior as well.
This is everything about the, first of all, the predictions, and then about the segmentation. And the third part is about a little bit luck and your experience. So it's not always you can just predict everything, and using the artificial intelligence and all the more in data-driven systems, you can't always say that those customers will definitely behave themselves as you expected. So it's a little bit luck in this case. I had their great example from my practice, how we were trying to connect our Arabian EMEA customers with the others. So we just expected that our let's say Arabian customers would likely date with their neighbors and with their those who live side by side on the same street in the same city. But we actually failed at the time, and the prediction was completely wrong, because we started to watch what all those customers have been doing inside the apps. What did they like? How did they open profiles? What is their customer's journey? So on and so forth. So we figured out that they mostly are eager to date internationally, but not in their own hometown. And then we were trying to figure out who's the best match for them from the international market. Found Latin men and Latin woman, and that was a perfect match according to usage of their applications, revenues, and so on and so forth.
So that's a great point, because you go into what you're doing, into marketing, you have certain assumptions, and it's great to have those as a guidance, but the reality check is always going to be the data. And we have to get a break right now, Alicia, but listeners, don't go away, because when we get back, we'll talk more about data-driven marketing and also the role of AI in making decisions that have real business impact. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors. Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever, because this community needs them.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget. I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping high speed on a horse named Archibello. So yes, my body hurts, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life.
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
Ho-ho, Archibello!
Learn more at brainhealth.gov.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Supercharging your mobile growth efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
Hello, we're back. Welcome back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz, with Mobile Groove. And today, of course, we have Alicia Kuznetsova. She is head of mobile at Social Discovery Ventures. And Alicia, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, that interesting sort of eureka aha moment when you've been thinking about your assumptions, your marketing assumptions make perfect sense. The data tells you something else. So it told you basically that your users would like to be matched with different people. Obviously, you did that because you're a successful app company. But what else did you have to do in your UA and in your approach to match what the data was telling you?
As I told you before, there was a quite successful users acquisition. We were trying to match our Arabian customers internationally for their travel plans, and we were trying to follow up. Was this matching successful or not? Have they really had their mutual travel experience? So we used actually at that time we used actually the content marketing, like, tell us our story, please tell us about your successful trip. Was it successful? Have you been happy there at that time? So we've got, I actually don't remember, but quite a lot of answers from our customers, and then we use that content towards our new acquisition, like telling our potential customers the success stories that we had to guarantee the best performance, that people will see that this service really works. This is the proofs of their happy trips, the successful usage, and so they can also join the service and try their luck. We also use the push marketing and with those stories for those people who stopped using our application. We were sending the push notifications like, hey guys, that's your fellow mates, that's the same user that used also our application. So, hey guys, we have a success stories. Maybe you can give a second try for our application. Maybe we can find you the right match. So we were trying not only to acquire new customers, but we were trying to re-engage our previous one using the that insight that we've got from the matching the target group with their international travelers.
Of course, when you're talking about engagement, at one level, that's about being effective, but it's also about being emotive. And you're very focused on data, as you should be, Alicia, at your company, to get good results. How do you follow the data to engage and re-engage your users?
In our company, I will start with the re-engagement, because in our company, the re-engagement is absolutely based on data and on the assumptions that those customers who left might need again. So we're not mostly like relying on some kind of intuition or luck or some assumptions, but we for re-engagement and to predict their possible behavior, and also to gather the information, the direct and quite clear information about why those customers probably left or are not using the application. Sometimes the reasons, I can give the example that sometimes the reasons are quite simple. The most recent answer is like, I forgot that I'm having this app. This is like, sounds like ridiculous. They don't like, our customers, like, they're not having some problems with the app. They're not unsatisfied with the application, they just forgot about that they're having this app. So in this case, we do see the problem that we're not interactive enough for the customer. We're not like communicating with them, sending push or emails or some kind of that stuff. We're not reminding about themselves. This is the first point. And the second one, we're not showing their great results and great matches for this customer, because if there is enough interaction, if there is enough communication inside the app, if the user is engaged and happy about his communications, he's not like left in their dating app. He's trying to go on the dates. He's trying to chat and date with the new people again and again before he will find his perfect match. So that's why we know this all this way, and that's why all our re-engagement is based on the data. But our engagement is a little bit different, because we know everything. I hope so that we know everything, but still not. about our customers, but there is some kind of the element of luck and the element of prediction, because you're always trying to find new audience, new type of acquisition, new country, like new geos for your applications. You're always to find how to scale your business and how to get more customers inside your system. And so this is, I think, that just programmatic buying, artificial intelligence systems, this all helps the marketer to make a successful acquisition. But still, the marketer should say to the system, please, can you search for this type of customer? Can you show them this type of creatives? And I think that's the future of their users acquisition manager, to think what to show and what to suggest to the certain type of customers situated in some country of some age, of some gender, with certain habits and so on and so forth. So he need to choose. And none of still, but I think the future is coming, but right now none of artificial intelligence system will answer you the question what type of creatives you need to show to their southeast to woman aged, for example, 34, having reading and dogs and habit, living in Thailand in Bangkok.
Right.
That's exactly that's what you should think, study, develop, and so on and so forth, because you need to go into deep what those type of customers like, what do they browse, how do they use applications, what applications are installed on their phones, where do they go, what do they like, what kind of books do they read, are they like, what job positions are they having, and so on and so forth. So you need to collect all the data about their behavior and then suggest what to show them, how to track them actually.
To your point, though, I mean, it's granted, AI does have its place in marketing, absolutely. But as you're saying, you know, you have to ask the data the right questions too. The data isn't just going, you have to figure out how to formulate the question and explore that so that you can get the answer in the data. And as you were pointing out, you know, everyone is very multifaceted, and understanding that is going to allow you to come up with the right campaign, right creative. And the other point I'm seeing more and more is that people, because they're so multifaceted, you have to think outside the box about where and how you would advertise to them. So to your point about the woman who loves to read, maybe the place to advertise to get this type of person interested in engaging again with your app would be to think, okay, maybe something like an Audible. You know, maybe she's listening to books. She loves books so much, she might be listening to podcasts of books. So you have to think about where you can connect with these users. Is that what you do in your approach to UA and also to engagement for that matter?
Absolutely right. And in this case, different programmatic systems and artificial intelligence is helping us, because right now you do not need to think about where to find this woman. You need to point out that I need this woman because we do have the great conversions on her, and the programmatic will definitely help us to acquire her in the right place at the right time. So if we speak about the Morin acquisition, it's a great cooperation between the marketer should cooperate with the programmatic platforms and cooperate with the artificial intelligence, and these two systems are great helpers for the marketer to make the successful acquisition. So there, all those systems should be your closest friends, giving you the right answers on your assumptions. But still, the assumptions should be made by marketer.
So how do you do that in your job? You're head of mobile, so you have to be watching, you know, a lot of different moving parts, and also motivating your team. How do you motivate them to look at the data differently and embrace programmatic? Because for many, it's daunting. Some people maybe don't quite get it. What are you doing to bring that message to your team and get them to sort of rally around AI, data, and programmatic?
So it's a matter of experience. Because when you show to your team how it's really work and what the results they can really achieve, they're motivated by themselves seeing how it works. So we had an experience with one of the South Asian countries, quite huge, and we were getting our not good results at all. But at the same time, one of our competitors, one of local brands at that market, was just booming, and we were trying to figure out how it works, why this dating application is booming. We thought we were just watching them, and we thought we were doing absolutely the same, but that wasn't. We were simply showing the wrong banners and the wrong video creatives to the wrong audience.
Ah.
We were mistaken with the age and with the gender, and when we downloaded a lot of data and were trying to find the behavior, we were reading about the customs, the traditions, about how families are built in this region, and we've got our mistake, and then we changed that, and everything was fixed. So they simply was the answer. We were just showing the wrong creatives to the wrong audience of the wrong age. That was, but we haven't really, we can't figure that out, because the click-to-view rate was high. And those audience was just clicking on the banners and watching video and converting into registration. But sales were absolutely awful. And the problem was just in the creatives on the first step of the funnel.
So there again, as you pointed out, you know, it's that data, and you could see that they were maybe looking at, because maybe it was just so odd, they're saying, oh, look at this, this is appearing to me, looking at it, you know, not quite right with their segmentation, with what they would be wanting or what would appeal to them, and maybe out of curiosity, and there you go. And then the data says, no, if you want to get them deeper in the funnel, you have to change your creative, you have to change your approach. So we understand the power and importance of data, but we do have to go now to a break, Alicia. But listeners, don't go away, because when we come back, we'll be talking again about more about data, but a a little bit more about AI with some surprising, I think, tips and tricks for you to get started before the wave comes. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content.
Hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing.
Email sales at webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Supercharging your mobile growth efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
Hey, hello. We are back. Welcome back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz with Mobile Groove, and we have Alicia Kuznetsova. She is head of Mobile Social Discovery Ventures. And Alicia, you are obviously a person who loves data, loves AI. I'm a little bit like that, maybe not quite in your league, but I have a passion for it. And I was very excited to learn that your company is not just focused on AI as part of how it does, mobile acquisition, engagement, retention, everything in the funnel, but you're also looking into building, I understand, a research center institute. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. We actually have the research center inside the company, which aim is to grow the business. They're mm-hmm. not about figure out what type of audience will convert on the another one, but their main purpose that we created this this institution, like to grow the business. Where to go? What are the trends? What are the behaviors? What are the likes of their future audience? What they're going to do after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and so on and so forth. So we're trying to predict the possible models and the future models of dating inside our company.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing some research too, right? You're not the only one. I'm actually prepping for an AI report and doing actually a webinar upcoming for VentureBeat and looking at AI. In this case, it's with content marketing, not just app marketing. But I just wanted to check this out with you, a little bit of a reality check, a recent survey of marketers, where they see the opportunities in AI, why they're investing, where they're investing. So top of the level here, they see it as being a way to increase efficiency. They see it 50% generate new opportunities they might not have seen before. A little in the high 40s, new innovation. High 30s, increased sales, cost savings. These seem to be the reasons that marketers are focused on AI. What do you make of these findings? Does that sound like what's motivating you over at your company?
All those, if I'm not mistaken, 4 points motivates mm-hmm. us, because they're basic, the basic function of the artificial intelligence of the AI is to increase sales, decrease costs, and predict the better funnel to the conversion rates, and so it leads to increasing of the sales. The second one is the the prediction of the, I told you before that we are trying to predict the future of dating and to try the models that will be suitable for our future customer, not we're having right now. And the third part is about the innovations, how to applicate all their new products, all their, for example, Internet of Things or smart home devices to our industry, and how to use them to maximize the revenues and to make our customers happier. So that's it. And we also use the artificial intelligence, not only like we are speaking about users acquisition, but we also use it within the customer success department, which is trying to help our customers to resolve their problems and to make their communication on the platform brighter and more successful. We also use it for the prediction of the usability things and so on and so forth. So we're trying to implement it inside each part of the business to get the alternative results, and not only based on our assumption, like we think we do have an experience and we think that it will work. No, we're also trying to get the information from their AI systems on that stuff.
I mean, that's fascinating, Alicia, and that's why I'd like to have you back at some point to see, you know, how you are progressing with that, because we've had a lot of guests on the show talking about AI, talking about machine learning, talking about the impact on marketing, but, you know, you are one of the first, if not the only so far, to be researching it, making it an institute, making it so much a part of your company. I think that's fascinating, and probably a lot of key learnings that you can share when you come back. So in the meantime, you've talked a lot about a lot of really interesting topics, you know, engagement, re-engagement, AI. What about our listeners, if they want to stay in touch with you, if they want to connect with you, if they say this was really fascinating, how would they best stay in touch with you to continue the conversation if they want?
The easiest way for me to drop a note on my email or connect me with LinkedIn. So I will be happy to answer on the questions and to share some ideas, because I do think that our market should share the information, because it leads us to the better success, and to better results. So the sharing is the sharing economy, and the knowledge sharing is the future right now. So it's easy. Just drop me a note.
Perfect. I couldn't agree more. And of course, we'll have those details in the show notes with the show. And also some other details about where to look for you, because you, of course, have your own dedicated page also over at Liftoff at heroes.liftoff.io, where we can read up on you and, of course, all the other amazing heroes in the series. So definitely going to keep the conversation going with you, Alicia. And that, my friends, is a wrap. So next week's, of course, will be jam-packed with other mobile heroes from other companies, so stay tuned. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week or find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, Peggy@mobilegroove.com. And that, my friends, is a wrap of yet another episode, this and all earlier episodes of our show, by going to webmasterradio.fm, or you can find our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. We'll see you next week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.